Svarshanam Cha.
Shrutam Chakshu Svarshanam Cha.
Rasanam Kranameva Cha.
Rasanam Kranameva Cha.
Adhishtaya Manaschayam.
Adhishtaya Manaschayam.
Vishayanupasevate.
Vishayanupasevate.
Shrotram Chakshusparshanam Cha. Rasanam Kranameva Cha.
Rasanam Kranameva Cha.
Adhishtaya Manaschayam.
Adhishtaya Manaschayam.
Vishayanupasevate.
Vishayanupasevate.
Maji?
I can't see so
well. Can't see so well.
How about here?
Shrotram Chakshu Sparasnam Cha.
Rasanam Rasanam Graanam Eva Cha.
Rasanam Graanam Eva Cha.
Aditasya Samanaschayam.
Adishtaya Manaschayam.
Vishayam Upasevate.
Yes.
Shrotam
Chakshusparshanam
Cha.
Rasanam Kranameva Cha.
Adhishtaya Manaschayam.
Adhishtaya Manaschayam. Vishayam Upasevate.
It's your house.
No, go ahead.
Shrotram
Chakshu
Sparshanam
Cha.
Shrotram Chakshu Sparshanam Cha.
Rasanam
Grihanam
Eva Cha.
Rasanam
Pranam
Eva Cha. Adhishtaya Manaschayam.
Adhishtaya
Manaschayam.
Shrotram
Chakshu Sparshanam Cha.
Rasanam Granam Eva Cha.
Rasanam Kranam Eva Cha.
Adhishtaya Manaschayam.
Adhishtaya Manaschayam.
Vishayan Upasevate.
Vishayan Upasevate. Shrotram, ears,
Chakshuhu,
eyes,
Sparshanam,
touch,
Cha,
also,
Rasanam,
tongue, Kranam, smelling power,
Eva,
also,
Cha,
Adhishtaya,
being situated in,
Manaha, mind,
Cha,
also,
Ayam,
he,
Vishayan,
sense objects,
Upasevate,
enjoys. The living entity, thus taking another gross body, obtains a certain type of ear, eye, tongue, nose, and sense of touch, which are grouped about the mind. He thus enjoys a particular set of sense objects. Purport. In other words, if the living entity adulterates his consciousness with the qualities of cats and dogs, in his next life he gets a cat or dog body and enjoys. Consciousness is originally pure, like water, but if we mix water with a certain color, it changes. Similarly, consciousness is pure, for the spirit soul is pure, but consciousness is changed according to the association of the material qualities. Real consciousness is Krishna consciousness. When, therefore, one is situated in Krishna consciousness, he's in his pure life. But if his consciousness is adulterated by some type of material mentality, in the next life he gets a corresponding body. He does not necessarily get a human body again. He can get the body of a cat, dog, hog, demigod, or one of many other forms, for there are 8,400,000 species. Om agyam tumirantasya gananjana shalakaya chakshurn militam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhistam sthapitam yena bhutale shayam rupakadamayam tadhati shapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri jatha padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho, Dina Bandho Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute, Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Rishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hori Priye. Vansha Gopatarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Dama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shrotram Chakshu Sparshanam Cha, Rasanam Kranam Eva Cha, Adhishtaya Manaschayam, Vishayan Upasevate. Asango Hiyayam Purusha. In the Shruti Mantras, it said that the living entity has no actual connection with matter. A sangha, he has no connection. But he thinks he's connected. He connects himself by adulterated consciousness. That's called false ego. False ego is that subtle misidentification of the self with the body. So, although I have no connection, I imagine that I have a connection, or I develop certain desires by which I take a body and then think, this is myself. Prabhupada points out consciousness is pure, but it can become adulterated by the three modes of material nature. Anartha, this body is an unwanted thing, something which is not ultimately useful for the living being. And it's superficial. It's a superficial covering of the self. So that superficial covering is accepted or imposed upon us because of that desire. In the previous verse, Gandhan Ivashaya, what is that?
It is. Sorry, this one is also.
Just that last.
Very slow. Shariram yadavapnoti.
Yes, chapyu kramati sharaha, duhit vaitani, sanyati, vaivar,
gandham
ivashya. The way that the air picks up aromas, our consciousness is picking up different impressions. And from those impressions, desires are developing. And then, at the time of death, I have a certain desire, a certain consciousness, and the mind stays with me. Someplace I heard that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that the body is transformable and the mind is transferable. Or the body is transferable, the mind is transformable. Anyway, the idea is that we change our gross body from lifetime to lifetime, but the same mind is there. The same subtle body is there. And that subtle body has now picked up some impressions, some thoughts and desires are in the mind, and around those thoughts and desires, the body is built, almost as if it attracts a certain embodiment. It's built around, the body is built around our desires, or the higher authorities award a certain body according to our desires. Back when we were kids, there was Mr. Potato Head. You know, you stick in a certain kind of eye, stick in a certain kind of hands, a certain kind of... So, according to our whims, so similarly, the living entity has some desires, and according to those desires, certain kind of eyes, certain kind of ears, certain kind of tongue, certain kind of nose, are attracted. You wanted to have this, all right. And then, what is that also? Prakriti Sthani Karshati. Come on, that's a common verse. Brahmayana Sarvabhutani Prakriti Sthani Karshati. But that's not what I'm thinking of.
Prakriti Sthani?
He's struggling very hard with his six senses, which include the mind. What verse is that?
Is that 13:21? 22?
Manakshasthan Indriyani Prakritisthani Karshati. Yeah, that's right. Manakshasthan Indriyani Prakritisthani Karshati. Living entity is struggling with the six senses, which are grouped around the mind. Prabhupada sometimes says that the mind is the sense within, or it's the center of all the senses. So around that mind, these other senses are grouped, and then vishayan upasevate. One, the senses are tuned to a particular kind of sense objects, so that if you get this kind of eye, there's this kind of thing you want to see.
Mm-hmm.
If you get this kind of ear, there's this kind of sound that you want to hear. Or this kind of sound that you can hear. Even the dogs can hear sounds that we can't hear. The eagles can see from probably a mile up.
Yeah.
So you get a certain kind of facility according to the senses. And you get a certain kind of taste, or a certain kind of sense that sense object that we find appealing. So the eagle can see from on high. The tiger gets to drink blood. It's got big fangs for the purpose. The hippo gets to eat like a what do they call those things? Like a cement truck, you know, it's a big barrel. Cement mixer, like a big barrel, and all the food goes in. So according to the particular desires, we get a particular sense of set of senses, and they're tuned to a particular kind of enjoyment. So the hog likes to eat stool, and for him it's tasty. Nectar. Because his sense is of that sort, where the combination of that sense object with that sense creates the experience of enjoyment. Some other, that we mentioned the tiger. The tiger tastes blood and he thinks this is the life. Some other living entity, he eats something else. We may not like that, but Prabhupada quoted, one man's food is another man's poison. According to the sense that he gets, there's a particular kind of sense object. particular kind of food, a particular kind of sound that they find nice, sex attraction. None of us think that a sow is very gorgeous, but the pig thinks. I've never seen anyone as beautiful as you in all my life. Should I tell the joke?
Good.
I guess so. It's relevant. This was a cartoon I saw. It was a talk show. And and all the people are dogs. The audience are all dogs. The interviewer is a smart young dog, and he's interviewing this dog in a polka dot dress. And the caption says, rough. It was so romantic. First we had some really good chow. Then we chased some car wheels. And then he said to me, "Can I smell your butt?" I said, "King, I thought you'd never ask." And all the dogs in the audience are going, "Woof, woof, woof, woof." So we don't find that attractive. But for the dogs, it's very nice. Similarly, the demigods, they're attracted. We're attracted to some beautiful woman on earth, and the demigods are looking down from Indraloka, the scowl on their face. According to the modes of nature that we've acquired, even in this life, for someone alcohol tastes very nice, and for someone else, it's nasty. According to our consciousness, and even according to the sense, according human senses means we can go this way or that way. The dog always acts like a dog. You never see a tiger stealing oranges. You never see a like that one species going after what's meant for another species. They always stick to their particular, what nature has given them. But you find human beings with more freedom, and freedom means we can misuse it. So the human being gets a taste for degraded so-called enjoyment, and he goes in that direction. Or he gets a taste for higher enjoyment, he goes in that direction. Actually, the human life is meant for a higher purpose. Prabhupada gave the example that a district magistrate or a judge is given a bungalow. In India, that's what you get, a bungalow, which is a nice sort of little house on a nice little piece of land, and usually palm trees there, and a sort of nice quiet atmosphere. So Prabhupada said, why are they given that bungalow? It's because they have a position of greater responsibility. District magistrate or the judge, they have so many responsible duties. So the government gives them, yes, you take this bungalow. So the human being is given greater freedom, greater choice, good human body, and it's meant for spiritual realization. That's the proper use. But we can also misuse it. I mean, the DM, I suppose, could use his bungalow to throw wild parties or something like that. But that's the misuse of what we've been given. The human life is meant for brahmajigyasa, for spiritual inquiry, so that one can get out of the connection with material nature. asanga hi yam purusha. The living being actually is not meant to have a connection with matter. But because we're always looking toward matter for happiness, for enjoyment, we oblige ourselves to continue in the material world. But when we turn our attention toward Krishna, when we develop Krishna consciousness, then we get a body like Krishna's. Antakale chamameva smaran mukva kalevaram yaprayati samadbhavam yati nasyat prasangsha. Krishna says there's no doubt the person who at the time of leaving the body fixes his mind on me attains my nature. That means Krishna is eternal, we become eternal. Krishna is blissful, we also become blissful. Krishna is full of knowledge, we also become full. No doubt. This is our business in the human form of life, to be very sober, very thoughtful, and to use our time properly, use our life properly for cultivating this Krishna consciousness so that we can make this lifetime successful. Okay, we can stop here and see what kind of questions there are. If any. Someplace within are these questions bubbling up? See, I thought so.
I'm trying to make up for I always heard if you study the Krishna consciousness, you can make him, you can go back to Krishna in this life. But I heard also it takes, if we, you know, can take three lifetimes.
It can take 1,000 lifetimes. It's up to you. If we're not serious, then it'll be slow going. And if we're serious, in this life we can finish our business.
If you're serious, they can take one lifetime.
One lifetime. It doesn't need three. It took Maharaj Bharat three, but it doesn't mean that we have to take three. One lifetime.
So if we're not pure, we're preaching, we're not pure at the time of death, what happens then?
That's up to Krishna. He can finish up your business real quick, or bring you back. All right, you went up to this level, now next life you continue from where you left off.
Guaranteed a devotee family?
No. No guarantees. Krishna says that's rare. What is that? Atava yogina meva kule bhavati dhimatam. Then what? Durlabhataram loke janma yadidrisham. Krishna says that's a very difficult birth to get. Durlabhataram. Durlabha means difficult, and durlabha tara means very difficult. Very difficult to get a devotee birth. Not so easy. You know, we think we can, well, you know, I join the movement, next life I'll take a devotee birth. May not. Krishna says, if you've cultivated Krishna consciousness, in the next life, according to how far you've cultivated, you may take birth in a rich family or in a Brahminical family, or possibly in a devotee family. Maybe. And then, again, become attracted, pick up from where you left off.
I read that if someone takes prasadam, and take a birth in a devotee family in the next life.
Maybe. Not guaranteed. Certainly he becomes fortunate And it may so happen. Just by taking prasadam, one gets some wonderful result, but it's not guaranteed. That, well, you know, I kind of got into drugs, and I, you know, sort of was running around with women, and then I was kind of like, well, I broke this principle, I broke that principle. But I once took prasadam, so I'm sure I'll take birth in a devotee family. It's no, not so easy like that.
Wouldn't that make prasad distribution something glorious? Put aside preaching and philosophy, let's just get everyone to take a drop of prasadam.
It's glorious anyway, mm-hmm. But it's not like the magic thing that you just give prasadam and now everyone in their next life is guaranteed a devotee birth. Certainly it's their spiritual credit, and it may be the beginning of their spiritual life, or it may bring them forward, but it's not guaranteed. Okay, guaranteed devotee birth. No. Yeah?
I've always heard and also propagated that, one will, at least in the next life, whatever that is, if it's a devotee family or aristocratic family or any kind of family,
mm-hmm.
that you take up your guarantee, no guarantees, but that you take up where you left off. So in other words, if you're initiated, if you're, you'll reach that level again at least, and then have an opportunity to go.
What is that?
No loss or diminution.
Yeah, what is the sense?
Neha
bikrama nashosti pratyavaya nividyate. There's no loss. So Prabhupada said if you stop from 80%, then you begin from 81%. And it's described at the end of the sixth chapter, lapate parvadehikam, that he automatically becomes attracted to the consciousness of his... Sometimes we see, or maybe we have experience, that we just feel like out of place in this world. You know, everybody else is kind of like into it. And we feel like, I don't know, this just doesn't work for me. I don't understand it. I feel, disconnected or something. That's kind of good fortune from the previous lifetime. And then he sees some weird people singing and dancing. He thinks, wow. He becomes attracted. And then so many other people don't. They think, they're on their way to McDonald's and they don't care about these foolish people who are wasting their time singing and dancing. So a fortunate person, by virtue of his previous activities, automatically, the word is avasha, helplessly. And he doesn't know why, he's like a misfit in the material world and why he's attracted to this mystical stuff. It's like, if only I could be just like a regular person and not have to be thinking about, like philosophers, they're tormented because they have to think. They have to see that the material world is, that the world is full of misery. It's not optional. It impinges itself on their consciousness. It projects itself. The world is miserable. It's people die.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna die. And everybody said, come on, Jack, let's go play. And he said, but we're going to die. So why is that there, even though he may not even want it? He kind of wishes it would go away. But because of his previous life, he's made that much progress that he looks at the material world and it doesn't look right. Not, because the wrong person's in the president or because... dolphins are being killed, but because the whole world is something's off kilter. So that's his good fortune. He becomes attracted. Brahma jigyasa. He automatically inquires about spiritual realization. He automatically becomes attracted to the principles of God consciousness. So that's there.
Prabhupada says in many places, follow four regulated principles, chant 16 rounds, if you're sincere, then you'll go back to Godhead.
Mm.
And so sometimes devotees say, no, I'm not going back to Godhead, I'm falling, but Is that a symptom of no faith in what Prabhupada said? Is that their humility? Is that...
Well, of course I'm not... I don't have special access into people's heads, but it may be humility. Person, even the Goswamis have said, or Narottam Das Thakur, you know, they express their humility in that way, that being unfit. Or it may be a lack of confidence. I mean, you know, they say these things, but it's an exaggeration. So it may be, in that sense, not no faith, but weak faith, or weak faith. We say lack of realization.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't really vividly imprinted itself on his mind.
But then if someone says, yeah, I'm going back to Godhead, I'm following the principles, I'm, and then that appears, I mean, on one hand,
proud,
it's an insult to your spiritual master to doubt that, but then if you say that, then you're considered.
Yeah. Well, one can think that in spite of my lack of qualification, if I'm following, then I can expect that this happy result can be there. But that means also that one should think, I have to chant Hare Krishna, I have to follow these four rules, and I should follow all the other principles my spiritual master has given me, not that I just sort of like follow the four regulative principles, chant Hare Krishna, sleep all day, and go back to Godhead. And of course, if we do chant Hare Krishna and follow the four regulative principles seriously, then we won't sleep all day. You know, therefore, it's Prabhupada's indicating if you do this, then everything else will follow. Everything else will follow. Hmm?
When did you take sannyas?
1978.
Do you know who the first one was? Kirtananda was the first, right? That took sannyas?
Yes.
What number were you?
By then we'd sort of lost count. There were quite a number who took sannyas before. I actually took sannyas quite late, when you think about it, after Prabhupada's disappearance. So, so many sannyasis were there during Prabhupada's time. It wasn't like a small number, like 3 or 7 or 10.
Mm-hmm.
You could probably rattle off the names of 15 or 20 sannyasis right off the top, and probably more that I wouldn't think about.
You didn't think that you were ready, or Prabhupada didn't say anything to you, or why did you?
Yeah, I didn't think I was ready. Prabhupada didn't say anything to me. What else? Yeah, I guess a comment, those two things. Especially.
Is your sannyas for Satsar Maharaj?
Satsar Maharaj, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the first question you ever asked Prabhupada?
Nope. I could tell you a few early questions that I asked him. Before there was RT and Mangal RT or any RT, we used to have what we called bells, which was basically an RT. You'd offer an incense stick and ring a bell. And we did that at some time in the day, I forget, 4 o'clock or something. And it was called bells. So I asked Prabhupada, what is the meaning of bells? Prabhupada said, bells they have in every religion. It's a bell, you know. So for Prabhupada, that term wasn't operative. So when I asked him, you know, what's the meaning of bells, Prabhupada said, in every religious community they're having bells.
the Nikunja Yuna Ratikele said the other question.
Yeah, at one time I was in New York and one devotee, I think it was Vishwanjan Maharaj actually, was saying something to the... He was trying to reconcile this two things. One, Nikunja Yunarati Kali Svidhai, that the spiritual master is always enjoying intimate dealings with in the spiritual world, assisting in the affairs of God and Krishna. And on the other side, that we see that the spiritual master's moving around here. So it seemed to me, if I remember, that he more or less, I forget how he reconciled it. It seemed to me he was emphasizing, no, the spiritual master is here, so he's not there. And this is dealt with by the Goswamis. What is that? Siddha Sadhaka Rupena, like that. There's a verse that deals with this. It's quoted in Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, that in his spiritual body he's participating in these activities, while in his physical body he's engaged in the activities of sadhana, of devotional practice. Anyway, he seemed to be indicating, as I recall, that the spiritual master is here, so how could he be there? So I went to Srila Prabhupada and I asked that Prabhupada, there's about that verse, Nikunja Yunarati Kali Svidhai. And before I could put my question, Prabhupada said, that's if he is in that relationship. Mm. My speculation is that Prabhupada had probably been asked umpteen times, what if the spiritual master is not in the Madhurja Ras, what if he has another relationship with Krishna, then how does this song apply like that? And anyway, so Prabhupada answered that question, even though that wasn't the one that I had in mind. Mm-hmm. What else did I ask Prabhupada early? I'm trying to remember what else I might have asked him early.
Tilak reapplication.
Oh yeah, thank you. You know more than I do. One time I came into Prabhupada's quarters, he said, where is your tilak? This was early also, like 1968. And I said, essentially, that I'd put it on, in the morning. And, as far as I knew, if you'd put it on, you'd done what you needed to do. So I asked Prabhupada, should we always have it? Prabhupada said, you should always have it.
Wow.
Not that just I put it on, in the morning, and now it's done, my body's a temple of Krishna. But the tilak should always be there. So he brought me up, where is your tilak?
Can you stay in Sankirtan? The boys in the airport should wear suits, tilak, and their shaved head at some point.
He said that they, generally about Sankirtan, he said either they should dress like in our Vaishnav dress, or they should dress like gentlemen. His concern was that they not dress like hippies. That he didn't want that. That they'd be, long haired and kind of like, hey man, you got some change?
What about the tilak on Sankirtan?
I don't recall him saying anything about it.
I have a question about the tilak, just that I always reapply Om Keshavaya Namo, but I don't do the rest of them on later in the day. Which is, I know in the Gaudiya Mutt there's a practice that every time you take bath you put it in all 13 places.
Yeah.
I was wondering if that's an important...
That's the standard.
You should put it in all the places every time.
Yeah. You have to invest another minute and a half.
Well, the tilak ball I travel with is the size of my little finger. I should have a bigger ball.
You can invest in a larger one if you have a problem.
So then what about when the tilak fades and you just want to reapply it? Then it's okay just to do the face?
Did you join New York? 26 Second Avenue? So that Prabhupada had already gone to San Francisco?
He'd already gone to India. He'd had that heart attack. He'd gone to India. Then I joined. Then he came back. That's the sequence.
Did he have the heart attack in Montreal? Did he have the heart attack in Montreal?
No, in New York City. Then he went to Stinson Beach in California to try to recover his health. The weather was bad and nothing no improvement. Then he came back to New York and flew to India. Then he came back via California, as I recall.
So he had two heart attacks on childhood and then this. That's three.
Yeah.
And that was it. That's all the heart attacks he had. Yeah.
Oh, question. Maybe it's an obvious answer, but it's a frustrating experience when you ask something like, what is, you know, Prakriti Stani Karshati, what is that? And then if I think about it for a second, then, oh, of course, Mamagam Sojibhavokijibhavotasam. But these verses that I memorize, that oftentimes when I just hear a piece of it, or it doesn't come up automatically unless I contemplate, or if I start, you know, from the first verse of the chapter and start going up, then you can get it. And that, or specific points made in a purport where Prabhupada makes a point. You read it in Srimad Bhagavatam, it's such a vast literature, and then you just go ahead and forget it all. And then when you start Bhagavatam again, of course it's ever fresh, because you've forgotten the whole thing once you get to the end. And it's just a really frustrating experience, and I want to be able to retain more or understand that I'm getting something out of what I'm reading besides just, you know, the...
And you're 22, right?
Yeah, I'm 22. I should have...
Wait till you're 65. There's a famous, really quite good American writer, E.B. White.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote an essay on old age, in his old age. It appeared, I forget, maybe in Life magazine sometimes. A line I remember from the essay, he said, old age is when you feel your toothbrush, and if it's wet, you've brushed your teeth. one thing from, there are people who have great memories, you know, Prahlad Ananda Maharaj, yeah, fantastic memories.
Mm-hmm.
Some other devotees have just great memories. Other devotees, you know, they may not be as quick. One thing I can say, and people have different methods, you know, flashcards and what have you. One thing I've seen is that when you use the verses, they stick in your memory. If you repeat the verse, even if you just tell somebody else, this is what I read today, you know, talk to the devotees and said, I read this verse. And especially if you're speaking to the non-devotees, then the verse becomes something you need. You know, like, where was that hammer when I needed it? So where was that verse when I needed it? So you get a big impetus for remembering them. Or if you did have it, you'd say, wow, that was good. You know, I remembered that verse and it fit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one.
Use them.
Use them. If they just, yeah, and then there are other people, you know, they repeat the next number of times or they do this or that. But that's one thing I've seen, if you use the verses.
And that goes the same with points that you like in purports that are in, just talk about.
Yeah, same thing. If you repeat them, you know, that's the business of devotees. Machchitta madgata bodhyanta paraspara. They're always enlightening one another. So how are they doing that? Well, I read this, I read that.
Yeah.
Krishna did this, Krishna did that. That's the business in Vrindavan. Krishna did this, Krishna did that. Krishna killed this demon. Krishna killed Keshi demon. Krishna killed Aristasura, Agasura. Krishna did so many wonderful things. So they're always remembering, because they're always reminding one another of Krishna.
And would that be appropriate even when you're not on that platform? Like if I run up to my friend, Krishna killed Agasura, and you know, he did it like this.
Perfectly good. Perfectly good.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise it's like, well, it's a pretty nice e-book reader. How much did it cost you? You know, so what's better, that or, well, yeah, and do you think the Sonys are better than the Amazon Kindle? Well, from one point of view, but you know, 20 minutes go by just shooting the breeze about useless technology that'll be outdated in 6 months. But if you use the opportunity, you know, hey, you know, I was just reading about Agasura and Krishna really did it to him and he was very good at it. Then, you know, your time is saved.
It's true.
And then you enjoy it. Trishanti cha ramanti cha.
That reminded me of one thing. Can I say it? It's at Nanda Dulal Prabhu's house, I had found that magnolia. And I was so fascinated in glorifying the magnolia, and I was showing them to Dulal Prabhu. You know, we put it on the altar, and I said, wow, look at that magnolia. And he said, wow, yeah, it's fantastic. And you said, and then you came up and you said, wow, so beautiful. And then Dulal Prabhu said, yeah, isn't it? Look at the petal. And you said, no, I meant the deities. Purposely, you know, reminding us that, you know, we're just looking at the flower, like kind of like the e-book reader. Oh, nice e-book.
Yes.
The air can't help taking up vapors that are introduced to it, but our work here, is it in changing what our consciousness accepts that it's introduced to, or in changing how we react to it or what we do with it once it's been assimilated?
Both, and a third thing.
Mm-hmm.
We have, first of all, we have control, at least to some extent, over what kind of input there's going to be. You know, I can invite the television into my home, and then there's, you know, all the garbage in the universe can be transmitted over however many channels. Or I can turn it off. I can go to a, you know, rock concert or a bar or, you know, wherever the modes of nature are that are lower, and then there's all that stuff asking for a welcome into my consciousness. And maybe I've already half invited it or fully invited it. So there's that control. Therefore, a principle is to avoid the association of materialistic people. Because just as somebody, you know, a devotee will run up and hear what Krishna, how Krishna did to Agasura, you know, they'll come up with some mundane topics. Did you hear about this political thing? Did you hear about this? You know, 50 Shades of, did you hear about this, did you hear about that? And, you know, something to drag our consciousness down. So we're advised, associate with the devotees and avoid the association of the materialists so that automatically we'll be in that higher environment where what's presenting itself to us will be spiritual, related to Krishna. Now, okay, we can't, we may not be able to spend our full time living in the temple, looking at the deities. We may have to work or do this or that, or we may not, but assuming we do, then, yeah, we're selective about how we treat what's coming in. You know, somebody's speaking some nonsense, and we're just sort of like, you know, being polite about it. But we're saying to ourselves, you know, that's all rubbish, and it's like, oh my God, when is this guy going to stop talking?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not giving it a welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Not giving it a welcome. And even, you know, if it comes into the mind, maybe we find some other reference, some Krishna conscious reference. We remember from Srimad Bhagavatam that. Something, how this is useless, like it's like the babble of sea waves, or we remember something relevant to the context, or sometimes you may connect it by some almost artificial means. You see how you can somehow make a connection between this and Krishna. You know, they're talking about going to a club. And you remember Lord Balaram carrying a club. So there's really no connection between his club and their club, but you make the connection in your mind because you want to. Because they want you to remember Maya and you want to remember Krishna. So, does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Something else? Yeah.
I find that. And I think it's probably as prescribed, when I chant japa more attentively, then that effort is easier.
Yeah, sure.
The effort of selecting the, you know, what I expose myself to more carefully, and then also, you know, having more control over how, what I welcome and what I don't. So, you know, we're taught by Srila Prabhupada and that japa is so important. But I was wondering if in your practice or in your studies, you have encouragement for someone like me who, from time to time, struggles to give it the attention and the appreciation that.
There's some good books on the topic. Satsrup Maharaj has written his Japa Reform Notebook.
Mm-hmm.
Burijan Prabhu, I think, has recently come out with a book on japa. So, and they're real, like, japa devotees. They're devotees who are very serious about their japa. And I think, you know, I've had great...
Mani Swami, Satchinanda Swami, all of us.
So I think that I could recommend those books.
What's your meditation when you chant japa? Is you have a particular meditation? Is that confidential, maybe?
Prabhupada, yeah. Prabhupada didn't encourage us, you know, while you're chanting, think of this, or while you're chanting, picture that. I remember when he first formed the GBC, he gave them the job of, you know, sort of seeing that all the devotees were following the regular principles, that they were following the morning program and everything. And at some point, at that early point, the GBC people were instructing us that while you chant, you should have the mantra in front of you, you know, like a little card with the mantra. And Prabhupada heard about it and said, "What is this?" Dismissed it. Don't concoct. The main thing that I've heard from Prabhupada again and again is that we should chant with attention, that we should avoid the 10 offenses in chanting and chant with attention. We had a godbrother from Germany named Uttama Shloka, not the one from Chicago, and he told me that he'd heard from Srila Prabhupada, just try to hear yourself chant sincerely.
In Vrindavan now, a very large percentage of the people chanting japa have those little mantra cards in front of them while they chant. Would that be a reasonable thing to bring up as, hey guys, that's not recommended by Prabhupada? Or is that not my position?
You can give it a shot, but you know, it's like people are going to do what they're going to do and people don't believe you anymore. I don't know how these things get started and how they're going on, but if anybody wants to know, should anyone inquire, this is the history.
And what if they come up with a really good reason why to have it? Like, well,
good reasons are all over the place.
Yeah.
But our process is not good reason. Our process is what the spiritual master has said. And if you don't mind, I'll also say that Prabhupada never instructed us to play a japa tape while we chanted. I know some very good devotees, you know, like religiously have a tape playing while they're chanting, but it's not, you know, I won't say anything about whether it's good or bad, but I will say that it's not something Prabhupada ever instructed us to do.
He said, how will they hear, right?
Excuse me?
He said, how will they hear?
I never heard that. Did you hear that someplace?
Yeah.
Do you have a source?
Mm. It was a good source. I just can't remember the name.
Yeah. I personally find it distracting and even irritating. Especially since Prabhupada never chanted as loudly as the loudspeakers. And then sometimes you go to a temple and if you want to turn it down or somehow, then they're indignant. And then they all leave anyway. I don't know what you're supposed to do, but
if you don't, then it's difficult to keep chanting because
I just find it easy to, you know, I don't have a problem if there's a room full of devotees, because I don't, you know, I don't have to follow their chanting, and because they're not like it, however many decibels the loudspeaker is. But Japa tape drives me mad, telling the truth.
You're not in GBC, are you?
I must have planted trees by the side of the road, given cows in charity. I've never been on the GBC.
You specifically because you don't want to manage and you just...
That's one thing, and the other thing is I wouldn't want to subject my level of competency in management on the devotees or the society. I'm not built to be a manager. It's not where my strength lies. It's not a duty Prabhupada ever gave me, not something he selected me out for. I've got plenty of work to do without getting involved in government. I don't think I have a special talent for governance.
We always hear that Prabhupada said that one of the main duties of the GBC is to make sure the devotees are chanting, following the principles, and it seems like that's not like quite the focus, and it's more like management.
Yeah. I don't think, I mean, briefly, there are managerial things that need to be attended to, and that Prabhupada certainly expected the GBC to see to those things. But he wrote to Hrinandana Maharaj one time, just see that all the devotees are chanting regularly, following the regulative principles. Forget whether you said rising earlier in the morning, but like that, he said, then management will be at your fingertips. If people are in high level of Krishna consciousness, it's easy to manage them. And if they're not, management, you know, will be very difficult.
Do you see many things like the Japa cards, Mala Mantra cards that are commonly done, but...
I could write a whole book about them. Maybe a 3-volume set.
Is that your new book?
Hmm?
Is that your new book?
Yeah, maybe things Prabhupada never... Yeah, I could call it Prabhupada Said, and the subtitle would be, But I Have Not Said.
Are there some important ones or ones that...
There's a lot of things, like Kirtan. I've given a whole seminar on this, all the things that have been introduced into Kirtan. There's a famous writer who wrote that writing improves in proportion to what you can keep out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that the same thing applies to Kirtan. So many things are introduced in Kirtan that were never... there in Prabhupada's kirtan, which I don't see as adding value. The idea that kirtan has to end with all the names of the deities. Listen to every kirtan ever recorded of Prabhupada, you'll never find, you know, jai such and such deity, jai such and such deity. He just never did it. Jai Radhe, he didn't like. He objected to. It, although it's common in his Kankirtan these days. You know, like, who are we? But everybody's Jai Radhe. Other drunk in Kirtan. Lots of it.
Banditego Haribol, Krishna Johnson.
Yeah, Prabhupada. But when it became, you know, like 20 minutes of Hari Bol, and Prabhupada would object. If you listen to Prabhupada's kirtan, he's basically chanting one tune throughout. Now in ISKCON, it's like people are going to get bored unless you've changed the tune every 3 minutes or so. But you can hear Prabhupada leading kirtan for half an hour, 3/4 of an hour. one tune, or eat Tompkins Square Park, hours, one tune. Where people are adding like, oh, Hare Krishna, or Bolo, Hare Krishna, Prabhupada stopped the kirtan because someone had inserted Bolo into the Hare Krishna mantra, making it 17 words. Mm-hmm. Stopped the whole kirtan.
And also her, also Srila Padina, they taught, you know, they always say Srila Prabhupada say, Srila Prabhupada say, I don't know. They say, like the kirtan,
it's chanted in Gaudiya Math. It's more or less legitimate, but Prabhupada, I never heard Prabhupada chant it, and it's not very important. But it is chanted in Gaudiya Math. Generally, what's chanted in Gaudiya Math is accepted.
What about the fact that Prabhupada never would chant the name of his Guru Maharaj at the end of kirtans or anything? Like, we all chant Jaya Prabhupada very often, which...
We may. And it was done in Prabhupada's time. In Prabhupada's time it was done, and I think in Prabhupada's presence it was done. But this Jaya Didi thing leads to all sorts of weirdness, like... Radha Jagannatha, Radha Jagannatha, or Radha Ladu Gopal. We heard in Los Angeles by a very respectable senior devotee a week or so back. Radha Rukmini Dwarkadish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is totally asabhas. But you know, but it fits. It's like you're supposed to chant Radha something something, and it's just we don't have to chant any of that.
We heard that one twice.
Yeah, first by one child was chanting,
yeah,
I think.
Boy.
Then we thought, okay. But then one sannyasi was chanting, same thing. So, these things are going on. Prabhupada used to chant, actually in the evening he would chant the entire Mangalacharana, whole thing through. Then he would chant Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vashadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Finished. That was the whole thing. In fact, in my seminar, Prabhupada instructed Hari Kesh when he was temple president of Vrindavan, that's what you should do. The Guru song, Prabhupada, that's what he called the Samsara Dhamma. So the morning Guru song, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Hare Krishna, nothing else. Evening, like Arti song, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Hare Krishna, nothing else.
And Sri Krishna Chaitanya, no more than three times, I think you mentioned.
No. That's not like, that's like five chickpeas, you know? But.
I think that whoever was Prabhupada's servant at the time heard Prabhupada say that.
Maybe. But the idea is like that. It's not the whole kirtan is Sri Krishna Chaitanya, but. As you've heard on Prabhupada's kirtan, two or three times, four times, and Hare Krishna. Yeah, that's something everybody gets wrong. People are under the impression that you're supposed to chant Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama, Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Nama, Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudan Kiridhari Gopinath Madan Mohan, because Prabhupada said. Prabhupada didn't say. It's there in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after taking sannyas, was chanting Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudan. So Prabhupada wrote that we're already accustomed to chanting Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda, and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now these two lines can be added, especially in Mayapur. No, two lines. Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama, Gopal Govindaran Srimati.
Isn't it Yadavaya Madhavi?
No, that's what I'm saying.
The Gopal Govindaran.
Two lines. Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama Gopal Govindaram Srimati Sudam. That's what's in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's what Prabhupada said could be added.
Now we sing the whole Narottam Das.
People, because Narottam Das Thakur incorporated those lines in a bhajan, and people haven't read the book, they think that they're supposed to chant that bhajan, which most of the time they don't fully know, and nobody else really fully knows, and which anyway isn't what Prabhupada asked us to sing.
Prabhupada said in Mayapur, we can do the first two lines. Is that what you're saying?
It's not the first two lines, it's these two lines. They're the only two lines.
These two lines, okay.
And to get that straight in Mayapur was like, but I'm happy to report, I mean, this is like, it has given me new hope, a new view of the prospects of the ability of humanity to change, that in Mayapur they actually, 95% of the time, finally have gotten it right. And it was like, I fought for years. Bhavananda fought to get them to chant it, and then they were chanting those, you know, the Narottam Das Thakur thing. Then I got them to change it. I was after Narugopa like anything. I said, put a sign on the damn microphone, you know, big type, only this. Anyway, they've pretty much got it. Every now and then somebody slips in something else, but pretty much you can now go to Mayapur and hear what Prabhupada actually asked us to chant.
Do those two lines go before Sri Krishna Chaitanya?
No.
No.
They usually go someplace.
Later.
Like in the Mahamantra?
Yeah, and there or in the end you have your option, but first Sri Krishna Chaitanya.
You probably said we could or should.
He said may be added. I believe that was his...
Pardon me?
I believe he said these lines may be added.
May be added.
And you can... I leave it up to you whether that's an Indian should or an optional American may. I won't try to make a judgment call about it, but that's what he said.
May is sometimes an Indian should.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes it carries the force of an Indian should. I'll tell you, it reminds me of something else I asked Prabhupada. I was... Right after I was initiated, I went to Boston where Prabhupada was going, where Prabhupada was going, to serve as his assistant cook. I was Govinda Dasi's assistant for 2 weeks. She was the cook, but she was frail, and it was sort of a lot for her, although it wasn't really such a big deal. But her health was not good, and it was a little much. So, anyway, I was... Although I never cooked a damn thing in my life, I became the assistant cook. And the... So I used to go to... Prabhupada had a little house a few blocks away from the temple, and I would be there for, you know, a fair amount of time. And one time the devotee, maybe Satsrup Maharaj or someone else from the temple, they'd gotten these little books from India, from Gita Press, and they wanted me to ask Prabhupada if they were authorized, if they were okay, if they could read them. So I showed the books to Prabhupada and asked if they were okay to read. Prabhupada said, it is not required. You know, so I'm coming from America where there are two kinds of classes, the required classes and the not required classes, right? The required courses and electives. So Prabhupada said, it's not required. So I asked, well, yeah, but can they read them? And I went through a couple of iterations of that before I realized that not required means no. It is not required means... It's another way of saying no.
I have a question. Here, I found this spot in CC, and he says that after these, meaning Jai Shri Krishna and Hare Krishna Mahamantra, the other two lines, namely Haraya Nama Krishna, Yadavaya Nama Gopala Govinda Nama Srimati, should be added.
Oh, he says should.
Should be added.
Oh, I take it back.
Especially in Mayapur, but...
That's an American and Indian should.
Is that a purport?
That's a purport.
Okay, I take it back.
CC audience.
Mea maxima culpa. It's should.
But I mean, by Prabhupada's own example, we see that it's not every time, you know, Jai Shri Krishna, Hare Krishna, Maharaj, and then have that.
Well, there's the instruction. You can do
make,
it as you like. Should we stop here? It's getting late, yeah.
Let's have some snacks.
Hmm?
I think there are some samosas.